Hello, podcast listeners. This episode you're about to listen to is from the 2022 Be More Digital Conference. If you like what you hear, why not join us at the 2023 conference? It is going to be held on the 9th of March 2023 at the Novotel London West Hotel. We would just love to see you there. Visit charitydigital.org.uk for more information on all things digital. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. In today's presentation, we're going to be running through what the changes are that we made to our fundraising during the pandemic, how they've fared since, and what they can teach us about this new period of instability that's coming up. I'm Vicky Urquhart.
I'm Maria Kosler. And just to say, if you see me squinting at the screen, it's because my glasses are broken, and I didn't go to Specsavers, so I don't have a spare pair. So apologies for that.
Amazing. So coming up today, like I said, we're going to do some soul searching, some reflection, and hopefully come away with lots of learnings that will help us as we kind of, you know, we're looking down another period of instability. We're looking at another existential crisis for, as fundraisers, as we approach cost of living. So hopefully lots of the insights we'll have today will be really helpful and kind of help us forward into this new period.
So we are going to start off by going back a couple of years and the time just before the pandemic descended on us. Although not without its challenges, life was quite good in the community fundraising team at Mind. We were about to finish the financial year on just over 9 million for the first time ever. And over the course of the year, we had been supporting over 20,000 fundraisers. At the time, our portfolio consisted of many things, but it included stuff like our Do Your Own Thing programme of activity, schools fundraising, student fundraising, small and medium enterprises, Skydives Giving in Celebration, and Mind products. So I know everyone in the audience might not be fundraisers, so just to explain what products are, these are events or fundraising activities that we have developed ourselves at Mind, and they encourage people to fundraise for Mind through either an event or an activity. So think of Facebook challenges or coffee mornings, Macmillan coffee morning being the big one that everyone thinks of. We were, at that time, working towards the launch of our very first gaming product, which was due to go out in the midpoint of quarter one of the new financial year. And we were very excitedly putting together our final preparations for our very, very first mass participation, Mind-owned walk called the Mind Walk. Then overnight, the world turned upside down. And so did the makeup of our fundraising and the way in which we worked. Along with all of our events being wiped off the calendar, our Do Your Own Thing programme of activity, the registrations, they just completely halted. And we had to reforecast down, like most charities, just over a third of our income. The Mind Walk, which was due to go out at the start of April, was postponed until the autumn. And in an attempt for us to try and salvage something from our Do Your Own Thing programme of activity, we created a host of virtual fundraising ideas that were put on our website. And for the first time ever, our supporter hints and tips included words like Zoom and streaming. Luckily for us, Do Your Own Thing fundraising kind of started to pick up again after a couple of weeks. I think once people had kind of got over the shock of what was happening to us, they started to think about life and how we would go on. So people were doing our virtual fundraising ideas, which was brilliant. People who already had events and Do Your Own Thing events registered with us pivoted. And then brilliantly, people were getting creative, trying to think of quirky and unique ideas to fundraise for us in a socially distanced way. In May and June of that year, we actually saw a 600% increase on registration signups on Just Giving for non-active Do Your Own Thing activities, which was a massive shock. On top of that, we accelerated the launch of our gaming product, which was a big thing to do because the product had a lot of dependencies across mine from different teams, and we really had to embrace an agile way of working. We'd wanted to work in that way for a long time at Mind, but the pandemic really forced us to do this, which I guess was a bit of a positive of the pandemic. And we did it, we got it launched early April. We raised 11K in the first month of April, and we raised 30K in May. Vicky's going to pick up on the journey of gaming and what it looks like now that we have these learnings we've been through the pandemic later on in the presentation.
So going forward a few months, we're in the middle of the pandemic. We've reached our new normal. We've kind of figured out what's going on. We're starting to get some results in, and things are kind of settling down for us a little bit. And this presentation is actually in response to one that I did in July 2020 for Charity Digital, where I really touted that community fundraising was going to be the savior of us during the pandemic, because more than ever, people wanted connection, they wanted togetherness, and if we just made a few changes, we'd be able to really get that. So the new normal for us was all about really bedding in those ideas and seeing how we could make those changes. That would mean hybrid events, it would mean virtual events, it would mean flexes, and it would mean some things just not happening altogether. So in this next section, we're going to look at what those changes were, and then moving forward, we'll look again at how they are faring at the moment. So starting with the Mind Walk, we were so excited. And then April 2020 hit, and alas, overnight, couldn't happen. We very optimistically, at the time, moved it forward to October, thinking this will all blow over by then. Of course it didn't. And we realized in the summer it was going to have to go ahead as a virtual event. Really for us, we learned from the Mind Walk that we had that captive audience already. People had signed up to the event, they were excited about it, and then they still had a commitment to it and a loyalty to it, even when we changed the format, which was really, really valuable. And by going into a virtual version as well, we were able to open it up wider. So we'd had at the time a waiting list. We could go straight back to them and say, brilliant, here you go, here's your chance to be involved. You're still gonna have some of that experience, maybe not exactly what we were going for, but we can definitely give you something. And that was fantastic. We managed to increase our income from 80 to 150K during that pivot. But when we really dug into it, despite that kind of seeming success of the virtual version, the majority of that income still came from when people were expecting to take part in a live event. And when we took it forward into 2021 as a virtual offer again, we found that we still couldn't get a cut through. The idea that people would want to do this as a virtual offer if they hadn't had the idea of it to start with wasn't landing in the way that we had really hoped. So for the Mind Walk, we learned that maybe it could be a virtual, but only in those very specific circumstances where somebody has said, well, this is better than nothing. And from there, we were able to move forward, and I'll talk about what happened next later.
So we also needed to innovate in other areas as well. We needed to create some kind of activity that would bring in income really, really quickly to plug that gap that we'd seen from the cancellation of all of the challenge events and in-person events. So we delivered our first ever innovation sprint, another positive of the pandemic. And the objective was to create an event that had mass reach. It was easy to understand, it was socially distanced, and really importantly, it would get us cash fast. And at the same time that we were innovating, our service providers were innovating as well. They wanted to help us respond to the pandemic in the way that we needed to. So one of our service providers, I'm sure is everyone's service provider, is JustGiving, and they created a microsite model. This was a low-cost, fast-paced product. Wasn't perfect, but it enabled charities to create microsites really, really quickly. And as such, we were able to create this virtual event that allowed people to fundraise for us, and we had these really, really great incentives which encouraged us to get our fundraisers raising even more. What was also helpful was that our service providers were in tune with what we needed as well, and they responded alongside us. And this meant that the onboarding process of new technologies, we didn't have to go through. We could just really quickly take up what Just Giving had offered us and get something out there. Pretty unheard of for us. We had our first kickoff meeting, and 8 weeks later, we launched our product. Things don't usually move that quickly at Mind, so this was a great new learning for everyone, which again has been carried forward from days outside of, hopefully outside of the pandemic. So the Mind Walk, the pilot, was launched in summer of 2020, and it raised 78K. And then we had loads of learnings, especially because it was a pilot. So over the next couple of months, we really got to grips with what they were, and we created a second iteration of the event that went out in January 2021 and raised 687K. Move for Mind's journey doesn't end there, and Vicky again is going to pick up on this later about what we've learned now that we are hopefully kind of on the other side. So we did have to look beyond our service providers to embrace new technology as well, which was quite scary for me as I'm not a very technological person. But one of the things that we noticed in the pandemic was that more people were taking up hobbies and more people had more time to undertake their hobbies as well. And for us, the trend that we were seeing was crafting and people being creative. And these people were choosing to sell their the things that they'd made on platforms like Etsy and donate a percentage of that income to Mind, which is brilliant. The only thing with this is that this kind of fundraising, CRMs, does legally require a CPA, Corporate Partnership Agreement, and this takes up quite a lot of time to get established with them. The sole traders. So the sole traders is what we call the people who are selling the goods on Etsy. So at the time, 20% of our income from SMEs, which our sole traders sit under, was coming from these people selling their goods and their wares on Etsy. However, it was taking up 80% of our resource time, so something wasn't right. But we really, really didn't want to turn these people down. First of all, we desperately needed money. We just couldn't turn it down. But secondly, it's really important to us that people are able to fundraise for us in the way that they want to. So they're able to use their skills, their passions, their expertise, their interests. And we didn't want to say, actually, no, crafters, you can't. So there is a platform called Work for Good. You may or may not have heard of it. And they offered us a solution. This platform oversees the contract process of the CPA process. So we could basically hand it all over. It's completely digitalized. And on top of that, they deal with all the legalities. So we had absolute confidence that this was, above board. We weren't going to get in trouble. Like, it was all kosher. And on top of that, they collected income and they chase income as well. So obviously, it's a brand new platform for us at Mind. It is a complex area. We did have to go through all the legalities and compliance. It took a while to onboard, but we managed to get it launched in summer 2021. And since then, we've raised over 35 grand. But we have over 47 grand pledged to us. And this is like from people kind of selling stuff on Etsy, which is brilliant. And even more brilliant is that we freed up all that time and we can focus that on other areas of income generation.
Speaking of which, it would be hard to get through big changes that came out of the pandemic for us without talking about Facebook fundraising. I think for any of the fundraisers in the room, you'll know that it's been probably the most disruptive thing that's happened to us in the last year, and the good kind of disruptive, just to be clear. So just like our, as Maria's mentioned a few times, things can be a little bit slow for us to get new platforms onboarded, to embrace new ideas and new technologies. Another thing that we really got was an acceleration with getting Facebook going, and we were delighted that we started receiving income from Facebook fundraising in May 2020. Overnight, we realised this was going to be quite a big deal for us. We started getting organic donations through from birthdays and things straight away, which was incredible. And then before long, we started hearing whisperings about challenges. So I think it was late 2020 when the first things started coming through. Using the model put forward by GivePanel, which is around recruitment happens on Facebook, then stewardship happens on Facebook through a group, and then fundraising happens on Facebook. So everything stays within that one ecosystem, giving a really smooth but community-driven experience for our supporters. And it's fair to say that this had a massive impact. We launched our first one in May 2021. It was called 100 Miles in May, and it raised just over £1 million within that first 2 months, which was absolutely huge for us. For Facebook challenges at that time, it was a perfect storm of circumstances. You had a captive audience, everyone's online anyway. People are craving connection and we're giving it to them, but we're also making it super easy. And all of the challenges had that really core kind of easy to understand ask as well. So when there's not much going on in people's lives because we're still locked down, to be able to go, oh, I've got a bit of purpose for this month, turned out to be hugely valuable and hugely important. For us, challenges still are a massive part of our portfolio, and it's going to be really important for us, as we'll talk about later, to understand really what the potential is there. Now we're beyond the pandemic, or getting beyond the pandemic. So I feel like before I say this, I should like turn around three times and go outside and spit, because we aren't quite post-pandemic. Some of us have probably had COVID quite recently. It's still among us. But what we do know is that we are in another new version of normal. For us, we're seeing that the behaviors of our supporters is changing again. We're not in that captive audience place, we're in another place completely. And there's a whole new set of challenges for us to face as fundraisers, but also challenges for us to help our supporters meet, and needs for us to meet for them. So what we're gonna do now is look again at some of those changes that we made during the pandemic, the good, the bad, the ugly, and reflect on really, is there still value there? Is there still things we can be learning from these? And to what extent do we need to now change again, flex again? And how can that really help us as we move into another period of uncertainty?
So the headline news for us at Mind is that we have a new structure. We took all of those products that we were housing in the community fundraising team, we took them out and we created a brand new products team. This has been such a good move for us because it's really allowed us to focus on developing our expertise in innovation and really spend time building a really robust development pipeline, which means that we are hopefully always going to be in a position to respond as quickly as we can to disruptive moments in our timeline. And at the same time, we're also able to look ahead at our ever-changing landscape and make small changes, adapt, flex, and just respond as our landscape changes. And then community fundraising, we're going back to our roots. People are craving human interaction more than ever following the pandemic, and we are embarking on a cost of living crisis. So relationship building, it's more vital than ever. And it's gonna be tough for us, but it's gonna be tougher for our fundraisers. They're not professionals. So we need to build really high value relationships that are meaningful. So our fundraisers have a confidence instilled in them and they're motivated to go out and do the best they can in quite a bleak time.
So back to the Mind Walk. As we left it, we decided it wasn't quite working as a virtual. So very excitingly, at the beginning of last month, we took it for its first outing as a live event. It's due to take place in September this year. And we really felt confident at the time of launch based on things like the fact that we had a really successful return to event season last year for our third party events. And just the climate, that people will be more interested in something in that live experience. You know, we're back at Glastonbury, we're out there in the world, we're doing things. What we found, however, is that the insight that drove us to create the Mind Walk in the first place was from 2018, 2019. The chances are that's not going to be the right insight to drive us forward to create something now. We've had a slow and steady start to registrations. You know, we launched, like I say, at the beginning of June, and we're on about 50 registrants at the moment. It's definitely not the response we had in 2019. And for us, I think it's now to decide live events. We still think there's an appetite for them, but if it's not this, then what is it? And we really need to make sure that we're being rigorous and keeping in touch with our audience and what their needs are, rather than assuming we know what they are because we knew back in 2019. Move for Mind. Move for Mind is the fundamental lockdown puppy. We hailed Move for Mind as a savior for us in that period. It came out of that amazing innovation sprint, 8 weeks, and we had a product. It was incredible. And then we had a mega year, and we raised over 800K in that year, and it was incredible. However, what we know about Move for Mind is the circumstances that it was born into, raised into, the home we bought it into in the first place, was really specific and really favorable. We had a really captive audience. We had a bunch of people that were really keen to support us. Mental health was at the forefront of everyone's mind at that period. At the same time, we also had really favorable learnings around the marketing costs we had. None of the big brands were out in the marketplace competing with us in the way that they are now. And it's really before that kind of tidal wave of Facebook challenges that hit the market too. So it was perfect, perfect circumstances. We found that when we took Move for Mind out again in 2021, so Q4 just gone, the 2022 rather, the cut through just wasn't there. It was a completely different world. And for this lockdown puppy, it was deeply uncomfortable in these new waters, in this new world. So we didn't get the cut through. We had some great, super engaged fundraisers, but it wasn't the dizzy heights of 2020, 2021. So for us now, we need to understand, where does Move for Mind sit in our portfolio? What are the great things about it? You know, it's got that great cause line. It's interesting for people. People get it straight away. It's a 30-day exercise challenge. But what are the things that actually we just can't recreate in these times? And how can we make sure that we're, again, staying really close to what our audience needs are so that next time we take it out, if we do, we're going to get the cut through that we had to start with, or if not, that we've made the right decision to keep our resource elsewhere.
So back to relationships. I'm not going to spend too long talking about it, as I've mentioned it before. However, I did want to touch upon another positive that has come out of lockdown, and that's kind of the digitalization of our communication. Community fundraising is different from charity to charity, and Mind is no different. The way we work is that we're actually centrally based. So we are based in London and Cardiff, and that's really made building high value, meaningful relationships with vast amounts of people quite challenging. We don't have the capacity in terms of time and money to go out, to travel, to meet our fundraisers face-to-face, to attend their events. And that's always been a bit of a challenge for us. So with the pandemic came the embedding of things that I'd never heard of before, Zoom and Teams into our daily working life. Excuse me. And as such, we have really been able to harness this and generate meaningful relationships, really strong, solid relationships with a much greater number of people across England and Wales. It doesn't matter where you live now, whether it's the Valleys of Wales or the most remote place in Yorkshire. We can speak to you, we can have a high-value relationship with you, and we can just do it, jump on the computer, and then, you know, go and get a cup of tea from Prep downstairs. So for us, this is something that we are really happy to take forward and to continue as a really important part of our culture at Mind. It's really going to help us achieve that goal of building really important relationships as we embark on the cost of living.
Back to Facebook challenges. So, like I said, Facebook was absolutely huge for us, and it continues to be. It's ended up now, for my world of products fundraising, it's about 50% of our £4 million portfolio just from Facebook, which, considering it didn't exist to us about 18 months ago, is wild. But at the same time, we know that it's not, again, the world that we launched into back in May 2021. For our Facebook challenges, we've seen just not the same level of sustainability that we might hope for in the income, and a reduction of about 25% with each challenge that we've run. We don't know when our plateau is coming, and I think that's the question on everybody's lips at the moment. When are we going to steady out? Is this going to drop to zero? I don't think zero is going to happen. I don't think that's going to be the case, because there's so many things that are fundamentally good about this type of fundraising that's working for our audience. But at the same time, different world, different times, different audience needs. What we do know is that those really important kind of fundamental parts of Facebook challenges will continue to make a difference for us and will be able to use across the board in other parts of our portfolio as well. So the three things that we really recognize and as part of my team, and things that we're trying to see now recreated across our entire portfolio, are the power of community. So like I mentioned, with Facebook challenges, everybody who signs up gets put into a group, and on that group they're able to interact with the other people and who are taking part in the challenge. And I can't really understate how powerful that is. For mind and mental health, what you've got then is thousands of people who maybe have never spoken about mental health before in a group where they feel immediately safe and able to do that. And the conversations are raw and real and incredibly personal, but the reaction is always the same. It's powerful and it motivates like nothing else I've ever seen, like more than any beautifully crafted dot digital campaign that my team could create. Those interactions actually forge the relationships that push people forward into their fundraising. And that's not something that has to be for Facebook only. That can be in any part of our portfolio. And you know, while we continue to grow and understand more about what the platform, other platforms can offer us, those kinds of interactions will be what we're searching for. Similarly, what we also see with Facebook challenges is how important the frictionlessness of a journey is. So it's a beautiful thing. Three clicks, you're done, you've got a fundraiser, you can start raising money straight away. We know that the longer the gap between somebody making a decision to do something and somebody actually going out and telling their friends they're doing it and they want them to give them money for it, the longer that gap, the harder it is to start in the first place. And what challenges did was make that gap as short as possible. Again, that doesn't have to be limited to this. So if we are struggling to get the cut through with those challenges, why not take that lesson and bring it somewhere else? And we'll definitely be looking to our other technology partners to help us do that and to understand like where the opportunities are in the marketplace as well. And finally, it's always been something we know is important, but I think now more than ever, 100 miles in May, four words, you know exactly what you're being asked to do. We need to make sure that we can have one sentence propositions, even when we've got something brilliant and wonderful and cause related and conceptual that we know people are going to love. You've still got to be able to explain it in a sentence, otherwise it's not going to get the cut through. We are so saturated, particularly on social media for direct conversions. We're so saturated with marketing stuff all the time. We scroll and we scroll and we scroll, and to get the thumb stoppingness of it, you need to be able to understand it instantly. And so again, that's another learning that we can absolutely take forward. Whether it's Facebook, whether it's somewhere else, it's got to be that short. And it's going to be a massive challenge for us because, you know, we like to do things that are a bit more complex. So it's about how we then take that and how we make it and really challenge ourselves to be refined around our asks. And finally, gaming is another one that I really wanted to draw out as something that we've learned a lot from during this last year. Out of all of our income, all of our products, this has been the most stable and had the least fluctuation. We've seen ups and downs, we've seen wild forecasting over the last few years, but gaming has stayed steady, and that's really important to us, and there's a lot that we've kind of gained from knowing that. So we started off in the pandemic with a gaming for good offer. It was called Switch Off Game On. We asked people to game and fundraise. The transition we made in year two was to turn that into a streaming ask. We asked people to stream for mind. We said, we need you to do it. And what the really important side of that was that rather than capitalize on a behavior that increased during the pandemic, gaming, and if anyone doesn't know the distinction or hasn't heard of this distinction before, if you've got Candy Crush on your phone, then you could be a gamer. But if you don't share that with an audience, if you don't pop your headphones on and say, watch me do this thing, then you're not necessarily a streamer. Gamers, there was lots of them during the pandemic, more people doing it than ever. It was a really good idea and a really good moment for us to do that. But the streamers, that's a behavior that already existed. And the beauty of that is that there was already a mechanism where their audiences knew to put their hands in their pockets. They're used to saying, oh, can you support me? Can I, you know, like, I'm doing all this streaming. Would you like to help me out? Here's my Venmo. All that needs to change to is, I'm doing all this streaming. Would you like to help me out? Here's my Mind fundraising page. And so that behavior already existed. For streamers, it meant that we could continue to use the behavior that existed before the pandemic. If anything, they just had bigger followings, which was wonderful, and see it through into this new normal, into this new world, without seeing that massive fluctuation that we had across other events. So again, it was really about looking at those behaviors and grounding our asks and grounding our ideas in them so that we weren't kind of falling into the pitfall of expecting everybody to go back to before the pandemic in what they needed from us. So, the future. Like we said, we know that things are not stable at the moment. For anybody who's a fundraiser in the room, you're probably looking at your first reforecast of the year and wondering what to do. I certainly am. And it's really important for us now to think about what that means and how some of these things we've reflected on, the soul searching we've done over the last sort of 18 months, can help us as we look into that future state.
So, we're about to go back in it. We've come out of the pandemic, who knows? And we thought life was going to get good again. But we're now embarking on this cost of living crisis. We also know that there are emergencies happening across the world that is diverting some income that may have come to us elsewhere, quite rightly so, Ukraine obviously being the really big one. And now that pandemic is less in the news, obviously we're remembering Brexit again. So it's not over. We're not back to nice, stable times. We're going back out into the breach and, you know, what's going to happen? Who knows? But what we do know is that we've lived through two really, really difficult years that we never thought we would live through. And we've fundraised through it, and we're still here, and we're still fundraising. And what's great is that even though the past 2 years have been really hard, we've made loads of really important learnings. Digital, to do with our supporters and to do with ourselves as well as fundraisers. We know that we can do it. So yes, we are going back out again. It is going to be difficult, but we've got ammunition now.
So we're going to sum up with our top five key learnings from the last couple of years. Things that really we think will hold us firm over the next period of instability. So firstly, be prepared for more anomalous years. For us, that really means don't expect your forecast to look like what you think they're going to look like. Don't expect them to stay stable across the year. And really, for us, it's about making that super clear to our organisations and being really clear that we're not going to be able to use past numbers to forecast anything. It's not going to happen. So we'll be able to do it. We just need to kind of hold that true and not ask for too much from our last numbers. Second thing is innovation is vital. And I'm not just talking about the big, like, new product development, innovation, get something out in the marketplace, but just about that continual improvement and continuous learning. With our gaming product, for example, we smashed our target by 10 times in our first year. So it would have been really easy for us to go, cool, did it, great, let's go again. However, by really digging into that data, we found, like, actually, the people that were signing up to us, they weren't coming through our marketing, they weren't coming through the thing that we'd put out into the world for them, they were just coming organically. So we definitely weren't meeting their needs in that, and that's how we made the decision to move into streaming, which has ended up being hugely beneficial. So by having that kind of mindset of continuous improvement, by carrying on going and not resting on our laurels, we've been able to really kind of to make the most of what has been difficult circumstances. Finally, we need to be prepared to say goodbye to ideas. With things changing so quickly, it's not fair for us to expect our audience to always want the same stuff from us. They're just not going to, because their lives are different and our offers have to be different as well. And that can be really tough because, you know, you work really hard on something, you get connected to it. But having that kind of removal and being able to be brave about it also has been so important to keep us stable and to keep us going during this time.
Staying up to date with new technologies is also vital. It's really important. These service providers and companies that house these technologies, they're not doing it for the sake of it. They are doing it because they want us to use it. And the only way we're going to use it is if it's going to help us and be a solution to us. So we need to really keep up to date with this, understand what's going on. And even if it's not your comfort zone, give it a go, try it, see what's out there. And finally, we have got this. As I said on the previous slide, difficult times are ahead, but we've done it. We know we can do it, and we can do it again.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and found this content helpful and would like to attend the 2023 Be More Digital Conference, you can purchase tickets through the charitydigital.org.uk website today.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.